Well, today we get to conclude our series that we've been talking about, roots. In this series, we've been talking about how we grow. This is one of the spiritual growth series, and I love these series because this is something that that excites me. Is you know, how is it that we grow? What is it that we do to get better? And I'm always looking to get better in life. I don't always get better, but I like the idea of getting better, I guess. And so through this series, we've been talking about how we grow. And we've been using gardening as our illustration through this. And as I've thoroughly explained, that I'm horrible at gardening. And so, but this is something that God used, as something that Jesus used as some of his illustrations. And so, how many of y'all are gardeners? How many of y'all like to grow stuff? Like some of y'all do? Gardens, flowers, anything? I can grow weeds really well. My backyard needs to be mowed right now. And so I can grow some grass. That's about it. But anyway, and so we've been using gardening and the idea of seeds and soil and watering and all those things to kind of talk about how we grow spiritually. And we've used a couple of scriptures to go along with this. First one is in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. It says, "Now just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow in the truth that you are taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." And this is the idea of what behind this series, that we grow our roots down in to Jesus, because he is our foundation. He is our strength. He is the one that keeps us going through life. And, you know, there's so many people that think, you know, all I have to do is pray a prayer, and then everything's all right. You know, I get to go to heaven, I'm saved, and everything's good. But, you know, that's not the Christian life that I see in the Bible, and that it's a continual work that we do. It's actually a journey that we're going on, and it's a continuous thing. You know, you never get to a place where you arrive until you arrive at heaven. You know, I mean, that's when you get to quit, you know, working on yourself into being more like Christ. In Psalms 1:1-3, it says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that the sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but those who delight in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do prospers." And I would love for that to be the picture of my life, of that I am healthy spiritually, to where it's like I'm just constantly drawing from God and drawing from the Holy Spirit in my life, and I'm growing, and I look healthy spiritually, and I'm producing fruit so that other people can taste and see that the Lord is good. And that's the picture of someone, is that's what we're striving for right there. And so, and it's all about roots and growing and seed. And so to kind of review what we've talked about so far, this is the fourth week. The first week we talked about the power of the seed and how most life comes from a seed. It begins there. And so we talked about the power that's within that seed, and we talked about how God's word is a seed that needs to be planted in our life. Because if we want godliness in our life, we need to plant God in our life. Does that make sense? And so we need to be planting God's word in our hearts and our lives and watering that and letting it grow in our life. And so we asked the question, what are you sowing into your life? What is it that you're putting in? Are you purposeful in placing God and the things of God in your life to be able to grow? The second week, we talked about the soil. You know, it's important, the soil that you're planting the seed in. And we talked about the parable of the sower that Jesus talked about. And it's the four different soils, and it's the condition of our hearts. And so we ask, you know, how is your heart? How is your soil? Is it ready to receive God's word? Last week, we asked the question, where are you planted at? And what's planted around you? Because in gardening, there's certain plants that work together naturally to support each other. And they grow well together. And that needs to be the picture of the body of Christ or the church, is that we're all placed in the body for a reason, and that we're all supposed to have these mutually beneficial relationships to where we support each other and we help each other out. Instead of being in a church to where everybody's talking about each other and you know, everything, but we're actually we are gifted by God to work together as a team, and not just within a church, but all the churches together within the community. You know, we need to be able to work with Baptist and First Methodist and First this and whatever church, and that we're all, gather, we rally around the cross and the cross season that bring life to our community as the body of Christ and not just being separate entities that are doing their own thing. But we're meant to be all working together to promote Christ in our community. And so if you want to hear any of that stuff, it's on the website. You can go there to check that out. And so today, I want to talk to you a little bit different. And the Bible talks about a certain root in the Bible that we have to be careful of. And I find it in several different places. And, you know, in studying for this series, I looked across a lot of scripture and stuff to see what kind of fits in with the gardening theme. And I come across this thing called the root of bitterness. Not the boot of bitterness. It's the root of bitterness. Yeah. Anyway, so let's read some scripture. We need some Jesus. All right, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. It says, "Work at living in peace with everyone, and work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many." And so as I read that, I began to kind of search into that and what that's about. And it's interesting that it says that it's a root of bitterness that grows in us, but it affects the people around us too. And so I was like, okay, that's interesting because, you know, this is what we're talking about. That's what we talked about last week and how I need to surround myself with the right things and the right people, you know, to be able to support me. But there's times that there's, you know, a weed that grows up or a thorn. You know, this is the picture of the thorny ground in the parable of the sower. And like there's things that are growing up to choke out God's word in our life. And this is what this is talking about. In Deuteronomy 29:18, it mentions this again. It says, I am making this covenant with you so that no one among you, no man, woman, clan, or tribe, will turn away from the Lord our God to worship these gods of the other nations, and so that no root among you bears bitter and poisonous fruit. Those who are hearing these warnings of this curse should not congratulate themselves, thinking, I am safe, even though I'm following the desires of my own stubborn heart. This would lead to utter ruin. And so here we see this, it's talking about the root of bitterness. And, you know, anytime I read something, I like to kind of break it down until I get to the, you know, the root of the issue. You know, when we're raising our kids and stuff, lots of times we deal with the behaviors a lot of times, and we never look past the behavior to see what's causing them to act this way. You know, we just want them to act right. You know, we want them to say, yes, sir, no, sir, please, thank you. You know, act right when they're in public, and we want them to act right. And when they act up, you know, we discipline them. But do we ever think about what is causing them to act this way? And so we need to break that down to the root of the issue of why they're acting out in this way. And so that's kind of what I did with this, with the root of bitterness, in that what causes this bitterness in our life? And so we're talking about planting seed. And so what is the seed that this bitterness is growing out of? And this is what I came up with, is bitterness comes from the seed of offense. Bitterness comes from the seed of offense. Someone offending you, someone that said something ugly about you, and you didn't like it, and so you get mad about it. And what happens is this offense gets planted in our heart, and our garden begins to grow. Paint that image for me, please. I showed this to you on the first week about, you know, the germination of a seed. I know a lot about horticulture and stuff like that, and so you know, this is basically my knowledge on how seeds work. And so what happens is the seed is planted, and what happens, the very next thing that happens, it goes down, doesn't it? It's got to grow roots before it can ever grow up. So it's got to grow down before it grows up. And see, this is what happens in life when we get offended, is that the seed is planted, and before it does anything in life, it begins to grow roots down into our heart. And this bitterness begins to grow into us, and it begins to take root and to take hold of our hearts. And then eventually, it begins to sprout up in our life, and it produces the bitter and poisonous fruit that the Bible is talking about. And that's how, you know, it says, and it corrupts many. Because, you know, has anybody ever said something about you or done something to you? And so you get offended by it. And so, you just like, man, I can't believe they did that. And you just be kind of, you dwell on that, you think about it, and you, I mean, it's one of those things that's like constant in your head, like, how could they have done this to me? I thought they were my friend, you know, I wanted to go punch them in the face, you know, and you let this bitterness begin to grow in your heart. Nobody else thinks that, right? But this bitterness begins to grow in your heart, and then all of a sudden you start talking about it to your friends. You know what they did to me? And so you begin to spew this out to other people, and they begin to take offense too. Well, if they're going to do that to you, then they're no friend of mine, and it begins this thing to where it's not only troubling you, but all of a sudden it's corrupting the people around them as well. And this bitterness begins to grow into our hearts, and then it eventually produces a crop in our life, and it's not good. And so bitterness comes from the seed of offense. And offense comes in many ways. It could be something that someone said to you. Or maybe they're spreading a rumor about you. Or maybe you saw them in Walmart and they didn't talk to you. How dare they ignore me? And you know, it might have been on purpose and it might have been on accident. It's funny, lots of times when people get offended, it's usually a misunderstanding, is what I've noticed. You know, that, well, how, you know, why didn't they talk to me at church today? I mean, I was sitting like right behind them and they didn't talk to me. They didn't speak to me. They didn't, you know, I mean, they usually just do something. I don't know. And they didn't do that. What's going on with them? And we get all stirred up about this stuff. And maybe that person in front of you is having a hard day. And maybe they were seeking God on something and it didn't. See, offense comes in so many different ways. You know, and we have to be careful on what it is. See, here's the thing, is we don't have to be offended. Just because someone says something about you doesn't mean you have to get offended at it. Just because someone does something to you, they might have stabbed you in the back, they might have been your best friend, doesn't mean that you have to be offended by it. And this is what I want to talk to you about today. See, we have a choice in the thing, and this is one of those scriptures in my life that's really set me up in the way that I think. And it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it says that we can take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. See, just because you have a thought doesn't mean that you have to think it. Does that make sense? Just because something comes across your brain doesn't mean that you have to ponder on it. Because thoughts come to us all the time. We're constantly bombarded with information and different things. You know, sometimes God will bring you a thought that's amazing and it'll revolutionize your life. There's times that the enemy will bring a thought across your mind to distract you and to get you off track. There's times that it's just random stuff going on and just like, anybody else have that? Just those random thoughts and you're just like off for 5 minutes. Like, like, oh wait, what was I doing? Nobody else? Okay. That's cool. But just because you have a thought doesn't mean you have to think about it. And the Bible tells us that we need to judge our thoughts, that we need to take that thought captive and submit it to the obedience of Christ. Does this line up with something that God has for me? Because we're bombarded with these thoughts all the time, and I'm telling you, this is something that's revolutionized my life, and I wish I lived this out perfectly every time, but I don't. But when that thought comes in my mind, I'm like, okay, hang on a second. Here's this thought. And I like to run it through Philippians 4:6. Is whatever's pure, whatever's true, what is ever praiseworthy. If it's something good, if it's something that's godly, think on these things. And so I bring that thought to this list. Okay, is this something pure? Is it something that I need to think about? Is this something that's going to bring glory to God? You know, is this something that's going to produce something good in my life? Nope. All right, you're gone. And you get rid of that thought. Now, some of y'all might have never even thought about that. Like, you know, just thoughts come and you think about them. But you have a choice on what you dwell on. You have a choice on what you meditate on. And see, here's the thing. When that seed of offense comes into your life, you have a choice to think about it or not. I have something real quick for you guys. Hang on a second. Getting close to lunchtime, I'm hungry. Hang on a second. I brought some cookies to share. Does anybody want a cookie? I've got 4 cookies up here. If anybody wants it, come get it. Y'all think I'm kidding? I even got some milk. Here you go. Come on. Cookies and milk right there. Help you through your day. Man, y'all weren't quick. I should have brought more cookies. Man. Hey, you're welcome. You're welcome. So here's the thing. How come nobody got milk? You got to have milk with your cook. Okay. I mean, you got to dunk that cookie down in the milk and let it soak. You got to let it soak for 12 seconds. I've timed it, 12 seconds. And it is perfect. See, here's the thing, is that temptation or offense is a temptation in our life. Just as I just tempted you with cookies. See, Kevin's on a diet. I know that about, I'm glad they're all gone now that I, Kevin's on a diet. He does not want to eat cookies. Now, was that tempting? Did you want one of those? You didn't even want one. That's awesome. That's great. I wanted one of those cookies. In fact, I ate two before service, but anyway. We're not going to talk about that. But I tempted you with those cookies. You had a choice, didn't you? You could have come, got a cookie, if you're fast enough. Or you could sit there and let someone else do it and not even bother with it. See, it's the same thing with offense. When an offense comes into our life, we have a choice to make. We can either partake of the temptation or we can leave it alone. It's our choice. We have choices that we can make in this area. Now, here's the thing. The things of God, they're simple. God does not make things complicated. You know, God said, in order to live this Christian life, I want you to love God, and I want you to love your neighbor as yourself. Everything in Christianity hangs on these two things. That's simple, right? It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's simple. It's a simple concept. And that's what it is when temptation, when the offense is offered to you, you have a choice to take the temptation or not. Let's talk about temptation here for a second. In James chapter 1, verse 13, it says, "When tempted, no one should say that God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when..." Listen to this. "Each person is tempted when they are dragged away by" what? Is that up there? It's not up there. Hey, Robin, can you put that up there? "Each person is tempted..." There it is. "Each person is tempted when they are dragged away by" what? There it is. There it is. "Their own evil desires, and they're enticed. Then after the desire has been conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when grown, gives birth to..." This is what we've been talking about in this series, is this concept of a seed being planted. And it gives life, it gives birth. And when our evil desires, when we allow those to be planted in our hearts, and then they conceive, that desire is conceived, and it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, it gives birth to death. And see, this is the concept here is when someone does something to me that can be offensive to me, I have a choice to allow that seed to come into my heart, that seed of offense to come into my heart. And if I dwell on that thing, and if I think about it and I talk about it, that begins to grow roots down into my heart. That root of bitterness begins to grow, and then it begins to produce something in my life, and eventually it's going to kill you. It's going to kill you spiritually. I've seen so many people that were excited about the things of God, and they're growing, they're getting into God's Word, and things are going great, and all of a sudden there's something happened in their life. It's like they hit the wall and they stop, and then they begin to regress. A lot of times that thing is an offense that came in their life. Someone said something to them. Someone was talking about them. Someone did them wrong. And they allowed that thing to stop the growth in their life. And it was their choice. Because they chose to take that seed of offense. See, here's the thing. Offense is a temptation. You don't have to take the bait. You don't have to take the bait. You have a choice that you can judge that thought when it comes into your mind. I'm going to go punch that dude in the face because he's talking about me. You have the choice to take that in or to reject it. Let's talk about this. Let's dive into this. Let's get to the root of the problem here. Because it says in James that each person is tempted when they're dragged away by their own evil desires. See, every sin starts with a desire. Every issue begins with a desire. Everything that springs up and produces death in us is an evil desire that's already in our heart. So what is this desire in our heart in that we take the seat of offense in? Because I've never met anybody that wants to be bitter. I've never met anybody that wants to hold a grudge and not forgive people. I mean, there might be somebody out there. I don't know. But I've never met anybody that's like, you know what? I need to find something to get offended about and just get bitter about it and just hate everybody. I mean, that doesn't happen. But there's something on the inside of us that causes us to take that seed and to let it grow in our hearts. And let me tell you what this is. Are you ready for it? The evil desire that causes us to be offended is self. It's selfishness. Being offended is selfish. Well, how dare you say that? I'm offended by that. This person did something to me, and how is it selfish that I'm letting that affect me? How is that selfish? Because it wasn't me that did it. I did not initiate it. But it's the love of self that causes us to be offended. It's the love of self. Let's talk about this. See, I believe offense reveals a flaw or a weakness in our heart. I believe that's what sin is. It reveals a weakness in us in that we fail to this sin. Let's talk about this. What are some of the selfish things that causes us to be offended? Number one is pride. Pride is the puffing up of self. You know, well, you're supposed to be proud of yourself. There's a good kind of pride and there's a bad kind of pride. I take pride in what I do, and thus it pushes me to be better. But I don't take pride in me, because what I'm doing here is not me, but is Christ working through me. And so I can't take pride in what I do up here. I can't say, look at me. Hey, I just preached a good sermon. You know, I just prayed for this person and they got healed. I did this, I did that, because this doesn't have anything to do with me. It has all to do with the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of me, and it's His power working through me. And so I have no reason to boast among myself, because it's all about Him. And see, pride is all about self. It's about your reputation. It's about your appearance. And someone has attacked your reputation, and so your pride wells up, and you become offended in that. See, Proverbs 16, it says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. How many times have we seen this? Someone's growing, someone's doing good, and all of a sudden, it's like, look at me. And then they're gone. Something happens and they just disappear. See, pride goes before destruction. See, if we have that pride on the inside of us to where it's all about me and it's all about... When someone attacks that, then they have the opening for that offense to come into our life. And because of that weak spot in our heart, that seed of offense gets planted in there and it begins to grow. Another flaw that we find sometimes in our heart is what I call unfairness. Have you ever heard someone, well, that's just not fair? My kids say that to me all the time. Well, Dad, that's not fair. They got a cookie and I didn't. They did what I told them and you didn't. And there's this idea that life should be fair, that everything should be equal, that if this person gets something, then this person gets something. But that's not the way life works. That's not the way it works. And so lots of times we get offended because of unfairness, of things didn't go my way. This person got the blessing and I didn't. You know, this person got the promotion, I didn't. I deserve that. I've been here longer. I work harder. I do better. And they got the promotion. And we allow that offense to come into our life. We get playing this thing in our head. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. Maybe I should go eat worms. I listened to about 10 versions of that song this week. It's a really good song. Y'all should listen to it. Big, fat, juicy ones, long, thin, skinny ones. How they wiggle and squirt. Anyway. Y'all got me off track. Stop that. Anyway, and so, no, I'm not going to sing it. But we get in this idea that everybody's against me. Nobody wants me to succeed. Everybody's trying to keep me down. And we play the pity party. Oh, nobody likes me. How come it never works out for me? Don't I deserve something? And we get on our pity party, and it's like, woe is me, and it's all about self. About how life is unfair to me. And when we get into that moment, then those offenses can come in, and it can take root in our hearts, and it can derail our life. See, this is a self-worth issue. See, we need to know who God says that we are. Because I believe that if we know who God says we are, then when the world says something different, we're going to believe God over the world. So many offenses come in because we don't know who we are in Christ. Let me read you a list here. I got some scripture for you. What better than scripture, right? Who am I in Christ? I am complete in Him, Colossians 2:10. I am alive with Christ, Ephesians 2:5. I am free from the law of sin and death, Romans 8:2. I am far from oppressed, and fear does not come near me, Isaiah 54:14. I am born of God, 1 John 5:18. I am holy and without blame before Him in love. I have the mind of Christ. I have peace of God that passes all understanding. I have the greater one living on the inside of me. Greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. I receive the gift of righteousness and reign as a king in life by Christ Jesus. I have received the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The eyes of my understanding are being enlightened. I have received power of the Holy Spirit. I have power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm me. I have put off the old man, and I have put on the new man. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am God's child, for I am born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. I am God's workmanship, created in Christ unto good works. I am a new creature in Him. Man, if that doesn't get you stirred up, something's wrong with you. See, if we know how God sees us, then the opinion of man has less effect on us. Because I know that God says that I am righteous. I'm the righteousness of God in Him. I am His child. He has plans and purposes for my life. I am somebody because Jesus thinks I'm somebody. And just because you don't like me and you don't like what I said and what I did, that doesn't matter because I'm trusting in Him. See, I'm not perfect. I know I mess up. I know I say stupid things sometimes. But I'm a work in progress. And I know if I depend on God and get my self-worth from Him instead of what people think about me, then I'm not going to let that offense to come into my life and to stop the work of God in my life. See, the unfairness thing is a self-worth issue. We need to know who we are in Him. Sometimes it's a respect thing. Now, respect is good. But see, here's the thing. The world tells us today that we need to demand respect. You respect me because of my position. You respect me because of my name. You respect me because of... See, God told us to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. And then He will lift us up. See, we can demand people to respect us and to honor us, and it's all about self. And it's because we're trying to build up self and make people look at us differently that we can allow that offense to come in when they don't. See, I believe that we need to respect people. The Bible tells us that we need to respect all authority. I need to respect that police officer when he pulls me over because I was driving a little too fast. Instead of griping and complaining, like, well, yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you for protecting us. There needs to be a respect there. There needs to be an honor there. And that comes with humility. Philippians 2, 3, and 4. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking at our own interest, but each of you to the interests of others. See, we need to have that heart of humility in our lives. And because when we begin to demand respect and to begin to think we're something, then we're opening the door for offense to come into our lives. What about control? Any control freaks out there? Nobody's going to admit it. I'm a control freak, man. I'm not going to lie. I like things a certain way. I like to do things a certain way. And I have this built-in thing to where I want to control things and make things just so to suit me. And that's a selfish thing as well, in that we're a control freak. We want to do it ourselves. You know, we want to... Can I confess a fault to y'all today? There's times that I do it myself, and when I fail, then I trust God. Does anybody else do that? I mean, thank God I got this. No, I don't got this. See, when we try to control everything, we're not trusting God with our life. We're not trusting God with our future. We're not trusting God with our kids or our marriage. See, we've got to learn to take that off us. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. God, tell God what you need and thank Him for what He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard our hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. See, that's the trust in God. In that when I know that I want it a certain way, but I need to trust in His way above my way. I need to trust His wisdom above my wisdom. And that's hard to do sometimes. And sometimes when we get in that situation where we're trying to control things and people aren't doing right and they buck against us and they go against us, then we have that opportunity to be offended. And that begins to take root in our lives. So let's talk about this. How do I keep myself from being offended? Because let me tell you something. We all have plenty of opportunities in our lives to get offended. So what can I do to protect myself from that? Yeah, I understand that it's a choice. I understand that I need to judge my thoughts. But what can I do? What's some steps I can take to help me to remember to not be offended? See, this is a phrase that stuck with me that's helped me in my life. It says that I will not be offended, therefore I cannot be defeated. Let me say that again. I will not be offended, therefore I cannot be defeated. I want us to say that together. I will not be offended, therefore I cannot be defeated. Man, that's something that we need to instill in our hearts, that I refuse to be offended. I reject that before it even happens, because I know that it's coming. You know offense is coming to your life. Are you prepared for that moment to, when it happens, to reject that? We got to have a plan. And so I've got an acrostic for you to help you to remember how to reject offense when it comes. Are you ready for it? It's COP. Just think, I got to arrest that thing before it does anything. All right, COP. So the first one is C, cover. To cover. And see, let me read some scripture. Proverbs 10:12, it says, hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers all wrongs. It covers all wrongs. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. 1 Peter 4:8, love covers a multitude of sins. Here's the deal, guys. My life was offensive to Jesus. I was against Him. I disobeyed Him. I was rebellious. My life was offensive to Him, but His love covered my sin. When He went to the cross, I was offensive to Him. I was not for Him, but He died for me anyway. Love covers a multitude of sin, and that's what the blood of Jesus does. The love of Jesus that hung on that cross that day covered your sin. As you reach out to Him and you confess Him as Lord, His love covers your sin. And what that does is it just doesn't hide it, but it takes it away. My heart that was full of sin is now clean because of the blood of Jesus. His love covered my sin. And so that's what we need to learn to do, is to cover the offense with love. Do they deserve it? No. They don't deserve to be loved because of what they said or what they did to me. But I didn't deserve the cross of Jesus either. But it was given to me freely. And so when that offense comes, we need to immediately respond with love. See, we need to empathize with the offender. That's easy to do, right? Maybe we got to get past the actions of people and get down to the root of what's causing. Because one thing that I've learned in life is that hurting people hurt people. Just because someone attacks me doesn't mean that it's them trying to hurt me, but they're responding out of their own pain and their own hurt, and they're trying to hurt me. Is that their fault? The Bible tells me we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and the rulers of the darkness of this age. See, when we realize that people aren't our problem, that we have an enemy out there that's trying to steal, kill, and destroy our life, and that when those attacks come in our life, that lots of times it's the enemy, it's the devil trying to stop the work of God in our life. And so if I look at people as my problem, then I'm going to attack people. But if I see the enemy, the devil, as my problem and not people, then I have then I'm going to fight the right fight. Just because someone comes after you and attacks you doesn't mean that they're the one that's behind it. See, hurting people hurt people. Loving people love people. See, we need to have that love that's been shed abroad in our hearts. We need to live in that love and cover those sins. And I know this is not easy. This is the hard stuff. That when someone is attacking you, that you respond in love. That you cover that love. You empathize. Maybe they're having a bad day. Maybe they're going through a hard time. Maybe their marriage is failing. And you just happen to be at the wrong place at the wrong time and they lashed out at you for it. That's not an attack on you. That's just them responding out of their hurt and out of their pain. And so we don't need to add to their pain by lashing back out at them. Because love covers a multitude of sin. So C is cover. O is overlook. Overlook. And those two sound similar, but they're a little bit different. Listen to this. Proverbs 17:9, it says, whoever covers an offense with love. No, that's not the one I'm reading. Proverbs 19:11, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is to his glory to overlook an offense. See, to overlook means to forgive. That, yeah, you're doing this, but who cares? I know this isn't you. I know this isn't you trying to hurt me, but that something is trying to stop the growth of God in my life, and that I'm going to forgive. See, I love that moment I don't love the moment, but when Jesus was on the cross, people were spitting at him. People were mocking him. They had just beat him to where he barely looks human anymore, and he's dying on the cross, and he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Can't we have that same heart in our own lives, that when people are attacking and mocking us, that we can say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know that they're being used by the enemy to attack my life and to stop God in my life. Overlook. Give them the benefit of the doubt sometimes and overlook those things. The last one is P. Cover. Overlook. Pray. Pray. Man, that's how we activate God in our life. And trusting in Him is through prayer. And it shows a trust. In Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. See, when you're being attacked, you're in a time of need. And that's when we need to run to God and give those things to God, because then we can receive mercy and we can find grace so that we can extend that to the people that are trying to offend us, that are people that are attacking us. So here's the thing, guys. My life was offensive to Jesus. But He loved me, He forgave me, and He trusted God's plan for my life. He saw past my behavior. He saw past my sin and saw who God made me to be. See, we need to be able to do that for other people, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that we need to be able to look past their behavior and to look at who God made them to be and the plans and the purposes that He has for them, and that God wants to use them for His glory. And that person is a son and daughter of God, just like I am. And we're in the same place. We're in the same fight. We're in the same thing. So let me love you like God loves you. Let me overlook. Let me forgive. Let me cover over those things. Let's pray. We need to be trusting God in these situations in our life. See, here's the thing, that we all have opportunity to be offended. Are you going to let that seed be planted in your heart? Are you going to let that bitterness grow in you? It's your choice. It's up to you. Because things happen in life. People sin. People do bad things. How are we going to respond to that? One of my favorite phrases is that my response is my responsibility. I can't mute the way I respond. I can't blame somebody who's being ugly to me on how I respond to them. Because Christ responded in love and grace to me. And I need to be able to extend that to other people. See, like I said before, the things of God are simple, but they're not easy. And it takes the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us to be able to live these things out. And it's trusting in Him. And so today, as we conclude, we're going to give you an opportunity to pray, because I know there's people in here that are stuck in their offense. They're stuck in their bitterness. And I'm not talking to one specific person, because I don't know you. I don't know all of you, and I don't know your heart. I don't know where you are, but I know, because I've lived life, that we all face these things. And you might be right in the middle of an offense right now that's consuming your life. That you realize that it stopped the work of God in your life because you chose to partake in this offense. We're going to have people up here in just a second. Prayer team, go ahead and come up here. We're going to have people ready to pray with you. We're going to have someone in the back. If you don't feel comfortable coming up here, you can pray in the back. Maybe you don't feel comfortable, grab your neighbor. Have them pray with you. Reach up to God. If you're stuck in that offense, man, reach out to God in some way today. Let Him begin to heal those things in your life. See, you might walk out the doors today, and you might have an opportunity to put this into practice. As we worship God at the end of this service, just ask Him to help us, to strengthen us, that when those temptations come into our lives, God, that we have the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit to judge those thoughts and to stop them before they come in. God, help us to love like You. God, help us to extend grace like You, God. God, help us to reflect the love and the grace of Jesus Christ in our lives. God, we thank You, we love You, in Jesus' name. Let's stand, let's worship. If you need prayer, come ahead.